Tonight you have your Bible, if you will, go to Mark chapter 6, Mark chapter 6. Praise God, Mark chapter 6. We'll make a quick run over to Proverbs 4 after that, and then we'll come back to Mark chapter 8. Mark 6, Proverbs 4, Mark chapter 8, and we'll go from there. Mark chapter 6, Mark chapter 6. Say amen when you get there. How many glad for the word tonight? How many came expecting something from God tonight? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Amen. Praise Amen. God. Mark chapter 6, starting at verse 47. When it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land, seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And he intended to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. For they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke with them and said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Somebody say that. Take courage.
Take courage.
It is I. Do not be afraid. God's telling somebody that right now. And then he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped, and they were utterly astonished. For they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened. I want to read verse 52 again. For they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened. And so here they are. They were astonished that the wind and the waves obeyed Jesus. His disciples are with him. They're in a boat, a storm-tossed boat. And when Jesus gets in the boat, instantly the wind stops. Instantly the storm stops. And his disciples are amazed. And the Bible says, describing their amazement, that they were amazed because their heart was hardened. They hadn't gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened. Their heart was hardened. Tonight's message, the cure for a hardened heart. Help me with my title. Look at somebody and tell them, the cure for a hardened heart. That's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about the cure for a hardened heart. These are his disciples. Jesus said their heart had been hardened. Sometimes when we think of people with a hardened heart, we think of unbelievers, and certainly unbelievers have hardened heart. And that certainly happens often with unbelievers. Their heart is hardened. But here, these are Jesus' disciples. And the word identifies their problem. The reason they were so shocked, at what happened was that they hadn't gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, and their heart was hardened. So let's take a peek at the incident of what happened with the loaves. Turn back then in Mark 6 to verse 32, really the end of 31 says there were so many people coming and going. Mark 6, 31. The second part of that verse says there were so many people coming and going, they did not even have time to eat. How many know you busy if you ain't got time to eat? I seem to be busy every week, but I don't never have no problem finding something to eat. I haven't encountered that problem yet. I get there, I let you know. Jesus and his team, they were so busy, they didn't even have time to eat. And sometimes our own busyness in life, listen to me now, our own busyness in life can harden our heart and make us a little dull in hearing as believers. God wants you and I to be so sensitive to him that it's easy for us to hear him when he's leading us, when he's guiding us. We can just get it down on the inside. Romans 8:14, Romans 8:16, all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. God's going to lead us primarily as New Testament believers on the inside. I said amen. And the thing is, if we are dull of hearing, then God might be leading. And if our hearing has become dull, God might be leading us and we're getting it wrong. We're not following because we're not hearing correctly. Tonight's message, the cure for a hardened heart. And anytime a believer gets hardening of the heart, then it becomes harder to hear what the Lord's saying. It becomes harder to follow the inward witness. You'll think you're following God, then you find out, oh, I missed it. You thought you were following God that whole time. If you keep stumbling, bumbling, fumbling, thinking you're following God and having to back up, wait a minute, you better check your condition of your heart. You know, in the natural, there's something called hardened arteries. That's not a condition that any of us wants, hardened arteries. Because that means there's going to be a constriction to blood flow and our heart's not going to operate properly. I said, amen. Amen. But when our heart gets hard as believers, we become a little dull. We become a little less sensitive to the Lord. Oh, we know he's there. We know he's leading and speaking. But what I'm saying is he may be doing a better job leading you than you are listening to him. The disciples didn't gain any incident from the loaves. Let's go on. They were so busy. Look at verse 33. We're in Mark 6:33. The people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. And when Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd. He felt compassion for them because they were like sheep with no shepherd. He began to teach them many things. And when it was already quite late, his disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate. It's already quite late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding countrysides and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread to give them something to eat?" He said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go look." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." And he commanded them to sit down by groups on the green grass. They sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. He took the five loaves and the two fish. Looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food, broke the loaves. He kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And he divided up the two fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up 12 full baskets of the broken pieces and also of the fish. And there were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. Are you serious? You know, in Bible days, they didn't count the women and children when they encountered crowds. They just counted the men for convenience sake. So this had to be a crowd of at least 10,000 people that ate. Jesus fed 10,000 people with a few fish and loaves of bread. But the scripture points back to this incident saying this is what was wrong with the disciples. They had a hardened heart because they hadn't correctly interpreted what happened in this incident. And there may be things that God has already done in your life that you've not properly, you're thankful, all right, but you and I, maybe we haven't properly interpreted what he's done. And that might keep us from understanding our present condition or our present circumstance. See, I'm convinced one of the things they should have understood when they saw him feed a crowd of more than 10,000 people, they should have concluded right then, this is the Son of God. He got all by himself. He don't need nobody else. Anybody who can feed a crowd of 10,000 people with a few fish and five loaves of bread, anybody who can feed a crowd like that, he don't need no help. There's no problem that I'm going to encounter that's bigger than his ability to solve this thing. Any God who can do something like that, it don't matter what goes on in my life. He's presenting, because the Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did for one, he'll do for the other. I'm so glad about that. And that means if I've got a problem, the Lord is just as eager to solve my problem as he was to solve this problem. The real problem was they saw the problem differently than the Lord. You know, the Bible said when they got out there, because they were tired, they were already tired. They'd already been ministering to people. And Jesus said, he told the disciples, "Look, we're going to get rid of the people for a while. We're going to go to a place by ourselves and going to let you get some rest." And I'm sure there was a resounding echo among the disciples. Whew, glory to God. I'm sure they were saying, "No more people. Praise God." And the people started looking at the boat as they were leaving. The people said, "Look like they headed over there, north by northwest. Look like if they're going, look like," the people said, "we could get there ahead of them." And the people looked at the direction they were going, and the people ran on ahead of them. So when they landed on shore, Jesus had promised, you know, retreat and you know, rest. And now they land on shore, and there's a mob waiting on them. And Jesus looked at the mob. And the disciples looked at the mob and they saw two different things. And you may have a problem tonight. You may have a problem that you can't solve, but God's looking at your problem and you're looking at the problem And if you don't see the problem, I wish I had amen in here. If you don't see the problem like God sees the problem, you're looking at it two different ways. You're going to come up on the short end of the stick. If you've got to be able to see, not with your natural eyes, you've got to be able to see down here with your spiritual. I wish I had an amen in here. I said, there's two ways to look at any problem. They looked at all those people and they saw burden. They saw regret. Oh, the people are here. Oh, here they go again. Oh, there they go. That's the same lady who was in the healing line on Tuesday at Jesus' meeting. That's the same man who, oh man, that man took a two baskets of fish. He took extra fish. They saw all the problem. But the Bible says when Jesus got out of that boat, he had compassion. He saw the problem totally. He saw the problem through the eyes of compassion. I wish I had an amen in here. And when you see people through the eyes of compassion, people aren't a burden. You know what Jesus saw? The Bible said right now, Jesus saw the people were like sheep without a shepherd. They needed to be taught. They needed to be instructed. And he started teaching them and then fed them. Yeah. See, if you're going to get through whatever you're facing, I don't know what you're going through, but I do know this. If you're going to get through it, if you're going to get beyond it, you're going to have to see your problem the same way God sees it. And if you see your problem, huge problem, oh man, Lord, if you can, you look at that man and say, oh Lord, if you can do anything, if you can do anything, then heal me. Jesus said, if I can do anything, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who can believe. What do you mean if I can do anything? The question is, can you believe it? I said, amen. I said, they should have looked at that and said, look, with God, they should have looked at that incident and said, he fed 10,000 people. So with God, then all things are possible. It don't really matter what goes on in my life. With God, as long as I've got God on my side, all things are possible. As long as I know that if he be for, I wish I had an amen in here. If he be for me, then who can be against me? As long as I know that I've got the greater one down on the inside, I know everything is going to be all right. I know he's made me to be an overwhelming conqueror in Jesus Christ. I wish I had an amen in here. I said, when you look at your problem, but you see the victory, you see the God who's bigger than that problem. You see a God where nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. But if you respond to your problem like the man, he said, well, if you can do anything for me, then, you know, go and pray. He said, if you can believe. Jesus said, all things are possible to him, to her, who believe. God's looking for somebody to believe tonight. The question is not, do you have a problem? The question is, if you're willing to believe tonight. I said, amen. And so they didn't gain any insight. They should have been saying, all things are possible. All things are possible. When the storm started raging against the boat, they should have said, nah, in the name of Jesus, all things are possible in the name, through that name. Through that name, all things are possible. Somebody, you sitting here right now, you got a financial trouble. You got financial trouble. But you know, if you would learn to see your problem differently, if you learn to say all things are possible through that name, in that name carries authority in three different realms, in heaven, in the earth, under the earth. Demons tremble at that name. That name has given us authority, and he's given us access to his name. Woo! I said, he's given you access to the name. Everybody uses a name, but not everybody uses that name with us, with recognizing the authority in the one who gave us the right to use it. When you use his name, it's like Jesus using it. It's like when you use his name, it's like Jesus saying whatever it is you're saying according to the word. If you're saying whatever it is according to the word. I said, amen. I said, using his name, I remember when my dad died, I had what was power of attorney. I don't know. I walked into his bank. I went to his mortgage company, whatever I needed to do. They gave me instant access to everything I needed to do. I had power of attorney, the right to use his name. We got something more powerful than power of attorney. He's given us authority. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. We've been given power. We've been given authority. Luke 10:19. We've been given authority in the name of Jesus. I said, amen. How are you looking at your problem? How are you looking at your problem? They thought they were in a storm, but the storm was bigger than their God in their mind, in their little thinking. And because they hadn't gained insight from the incident of the loaves, the Bible said this, their heart was hardened. Go with me to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4 real quick. Proverbs 4. Around about verse 23. Proverbs 4, verse 23. We're talking about a hardened heart tonight. The cure for a hardened heart. Proverbs 4, 23. See, what you're going through, if you don't correctly discern what God's doing in your midst and what God's already done for you, you might be dull of hearing. But tonight, God wants to sharpen our hearing. He wants to sharpen our ability to hear, our ability to follow his lead. He wants to sharpen our sensitivity to him. I wish I had an amen there. Amen. Proverbs 4:23, this is New American Standard. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. You know, I like it in the New Living Translation. You know what it says there, that same verse in the New Living Translation? It says, watch over your heart with all diligence. It says this. It says, it determines the course of your life. Your heart determines the course of your life. And see, if you're concerned about the course of your life, your hearing might have become a little dull. Your hearing might have become a little dull. And so now go back with me to Mark 8. Go over to Mark 8 with me now. We were in Mark 6 there just a minute ago, but Mark 8. Jesus identifies this same problem again, a hardened heart. Let's look at it. Jesus identifies the same problem here in Mark 8. Starting at verse 13, Mark 8, 13. I'm reading New American Standard. Leaving them, he again embarked and went away to the other side. And they had forgotten to take bread and did not have more than one loaf in the boat with them. And he was giving orders to them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Now look what he said. Do you not see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of broken pieces you picked up? And they said to him, 12. How many basket pieces did you pick up? They said to him, 12. And when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of broken pieces did you pick up? And they said to him, 7. And he was saying to them, do you not yet understand? The reason they didn't understand was because of the condition of their heart. They didn't understand it because of the condition of their heart. In both of these scenarios, here they're arguing about bread. They forgot to bring the bread. They made a mistake. They forgot to pay the light bill. But instead of getting into faith about it, they were standing in the natural. They were taking dangerous problems and approaching dangerous problems with natural thinking. And you may be facing a challenge tonight. But if you face your challenge with natural thinking, the enemy will beat you every time. Because he wants us to get in that reasoning arena, outside the arena of faith, and there he will beat us every time. Because faith is the victory. I said faith is the victory. And so they were so much in the natural. They were in the natural when they were in the boat and the storm hit. They were in the natural when the storm came. They were sitting there in the natural. Now they forgot bread. They're still in the natural. And Jesus is trying to get them to shift their thinking. And both times he identifies the condition of their heart as a hardened heart. As believers, if our heart gets hardened, we're going to get dull. It's going to be harder to hear him. We know the Lord's talking, but Lord, what are you saying? He's zigging, we're zagging. Okay, go with me now to our next scripture in the Gospel of John. John 12. The cure for a hardened heart. That's our message tonight. John chapter 12. We're going to start at 37. John 12, 37. But we're going to see what Jesus says at verse 40. John 12, 37. The Gospel of John chapter 12, verse 37. But though he performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. And this was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, which he spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this reason they could not believe, for Isaiah said again, "He has blinded their eyes, and he has hardened their heart, so that they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, and I heal them." These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many of the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. Look at 43 now. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. I want to say real quick, three ways to cure a hardened heart. Three ways to cure a hardened heart. And the first way is be a God pleaser. Be a God pleaser. Here are these folks in John 12. They're hearing the word, but they were such men pleasers. They were more concerned about men. They were more concerned about whether they were going to be put out of the synagogue, what would be their social status, what would people say about them for believing in Jesus. They were more concerned about that than they were in just pleasing God. But I'll tell you this tonight, if you'll be a God pleaser, if you'll determine I'm going to be a God pleaser, come hell, come high water at me, I'm going to be a God pleaser. My concern, my heart, my desire is to please the Lord, just to please. If you, I tell you, when a man or when a woman becomes a God pleaser, I tell you, it'll soften. If your heart is hardened tonight, if you become dull of hearing, oh man, just decide I'm going to be a God pleaser. I'm going to be more concerned about the Lord and what the Lord thinks than I am about people. Going to get my eyes off people, get my eyes over on the Lord. I said, amen. I said, Hebrews 12, to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Get your eyes over there on the Lord. Amen. Being a God pleaser. And then in Ephesians 5 and 10, you can write that down. We don't have time to go there. But Ephesians 5 and 10, you know what it says there? It says trying to learn what's pleasing to the Lord. As believers, as New Testament believers, one of our main jobs is to learn each day, Lord, what pleases you? What's your pleasure? What would be pleasing to you? How can you use my life today? What is it you want me to do or say? My life is in your hand. I'm a vessel. I want to be a vessel unto you. How can I please you? I want to be a God pleaser. Just want to please you. Yeah. Ephesians 5 and 10. Yeah. Proverbs 16, 7 said this, when a man's ways please the Lord, he make even his enemies to be at peace with him. Proverbs 16, 7. Yeah. When a man's ways please the Lord, he make even his enemies to be at peace with him. Yeah. And so you're going to have to decide that God's opinion about you, about your circumstance, about what you're going through is more important than what man has to say. You're going to please God or you're going to please man, but you can't please them both. And you're going to have to decide who is it going to be. So the first cure for a hardened heart is to be a God pleaser. The second cure is found in Genesis 22. Genesis 22. You can go over there if you want to. You don't have to go there. I'll just tell you what happens. It's God telling Abraham to go and sacrifice his son Isaac. Genesis 22. In those first three verses, God tells Abraham to go and sacrifice, Isaac. Abraham had waited 25 years for the fulfillment of a promise. And then just like that, God tells him to give it up. Now, it came about after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, go to the land of Moriah, offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountain of which I tell you. And so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of the young men with him, Isaac, his son. You know, the Bible says he got right up early in the morning and went and did what God said. What are you saying, preacher? That's my second point. What was my first point? Be a God pleaser. The cure for a hardened heart. Please God. Be a God pleaser. So what's your second point? Instantly obey the voice of the Lord.
When God tells you something, when God gives you something to do, when God shows you something to do, get up and instantly do that. He told Abraham, after Abraham waited 25 years for the fulfillment of a promise, he told him, take the son. He said, the son you love, he's your only son. Take him now. Go up there on Mount Moriah. And Abraham got right up the next day and went and did it. He went to do it. Of course, you know, it was just a test and God stayed his hand. And God said, Abraham, Abraham, do that child no harm. I got a ram in the bush for you. I said, God's trying to tell you this week, he's got a ram in the bush for you. You know what Abraham said? Abraham said, my God, he is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Glory be to God. He looked up, saw that ram caught in the thicket. He said, glory be to God. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. I said, God's your provider in this place tonight. But if he's going to provide for you the way he wants, he made them actually count how much excess. I blessed you so abundantly when I fed the 5,000, when I fed the 4,000, I blessed you so abundantly. He made them count. How many extra basketfuls did you pick up? Because maybe somebody would say, well, maybe not all the people got fed. Maybe you fed 4,498 of them. We heard back in the Jerusalem Post that two people didn't get fed. Jesus said, how many extra baskets did you pick up? The first time they said 12. He said, how many the second time? They said 7. So everybody ate and there was more left over. I said, hey, he was trying to teach them the principle that God, our Father, your Father, he's the God who's more than enough. I said, I don't care what you're facing. God is more than enough. I said, I don't care how big your problem is. We serve a God not limited by human thinking, not limited by human resources. We serve a God who's more than enough. He's well able to supply your need. I said, he's well able to get you through. He's well able to take care of you. And he's shown you time and time again through his mighty, awesome power. There's nothing he won't do for you if you and I will just believe him. I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, because he's well able. He's well able. What was your second point? Instantly obey the voice of the Lord. What was your first point? Be a God pleaser. Make up your mind. I'm going to pleasing God, following God. That means more to me than anything else. I'm going to be a God pleaser. Over there, this is for that point, God pleaser. Write this scripture down, 2 Timothy 2:4. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Yeah, I didn't give you that scripture before. So your first point, be a God pleaser. Your second point, instantly obey the voice of the Lord. What's your third point? What's your third point, preacher? Go with me to 2 Samuel. In the book of 2 Samuel. In the book of 2 Samuel. What's your third point, preacher? Keep a clear conscience. Keep a clear conscience before the Lord. I said, amen. I said, be a God pleaser. Glory to God. Be more concerned about him and human thinking, human things, human people. So what's your second point? Instantly obey the voice of the Lord. Be quick about it. When God tells you to repent, do it quick. Do it quick. God told you to go apologize to somebody. Go do that quick. God tells them we drag. Be quick about it. You're delaying your own blessing. Move quickly. He told Abraham that. Abraham got up the next morning. He was heading out. He was marching out. The next morning, he was headed toward Mount Moriah. What's your third point? This is my last point. Keep a clear conscience. Keep a clear conscience. We're in 2 Samuel 24. Verse 10, 2 Samuel 24, verse 10. Now David's heart, some versions say David's conscience, New Living says his conscience. David's heart, David's conscience troubled him after he had numbered the people. And so David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now, O Lord, please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have acted very foolishly. You say, what happened there? Well, David was king. And he told Joab, his first in command, I want you to go and number the people. Now, to be sure, there were times in Israel's history when God told them to number how many soldiers they had, how many fighting men they had in the northern kingdom and in the southern kingdom. There were times, but there were also times when God told them, don't count the people. And when God told them, don't count the people, it was this. He was saying, I am the one who fights Israel's battles. I am the reason that you win on the battlefield. It is my word that's bringing you the victory. Don't be trusting in horses and chariots and spears and armor when I'm the one giving you the victory. And God was saying, you don't need to count how many soldiers you got because you only need to count one. Me. And if you got me, then that's all you need. Me. If you got me, then you got a majority. Gideon started out with 22,000 men, soldiers. God said, no, that's too many. You ain't going to give me the glory for that. When I get done doing this miracle, you ain't going to even give it. You're going to look at those 22,000 men talking about their armor, talking about how finely they were trained, talking about their bravery. And all that may have been true on a lesser earthly level. But what was really true was that God was the one bringing the victory to his people. I wish I had a bigger amen than that. I said, and he's the same God who will bring you the victory. You have to get your mind off yourself. Get your mind off your resources. Get your mind off your limited thinking. Wish I had a bigger amen. Amen. So get your mind off of you. Be a God pleaser. Decide you're just gonna be a God pleaser. You're gonna instantly obey the voice of the Lord. And this third, you're gonna keep a clear conscience. So David was king. So he went out on his own and counted the people. He told Joab, go count all the people. Joab said, King, you don't want to do that. He said, go count all my soldiers for me. And he came back after several months and he gave David the count, and it meant that David was saying, look what I've done. I amassed this big army. Look what I put together. It's been my education, you know. It's been my speaking experience, you know. It's been my, you know, my talents did this. No, you better know how to give God the glory. I said, when God gets to moving for you, you better know how to give him the glory. You better know how to say, thank you, Jesus. You are the one who brought me through. You better know how to say, thank you, God. I couldn't have done it without you. You better know how to say, I might have had an education. Thank you for that. I may have had some reason. Thank you for that. But you're the one who brought me through. You're the one who made a way when there was no way. You're the one who put a roof over my head when there was no roof. You're the one who put bread on the table when there was no bread. You're the one who's my source for all of my blessings in life. You better know where your blessings have come from. You better know who bought you from a mighty long way. You better know it was God. It was God all by himself that bought you through. You say, my job did that for me. God gave you that job. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. You better know the one who touched your body. You better know the one who touched your troubled mind. You better give him all the glory. He told Gideon, you got 22,000 men, but I hear no glory. You won't give me the glory. Cut him down to 10,000. Said, you ain't going to give me the glory. Cut him down to 300 men. Defeated all those thousands of Midianites because God fought the battle. David's conscience bothered him. He was showing God, I'm putting my trust in myself. I'm putting my trust in my job. I'm counting up natural resources. I'm in the natural thinking. And his conscience bothered him. And so he repented. And we have to keep a clear conscience. Will soften your heart every time. You're having trouble hearing from God. You're hearing, but it's not totally accurate. Listen. Be sensitive to your conscience. Your conscience is the voice of your spirit. Unless you override the spirit. And when you override the Holy Spirit, a callus forms on you. And it becomes harder and a little harder and a little harder. And a little harder to discern what he's saying to you. But when you become sensitive to your conscience, when you become sensitive to your conscience, then Your conscience can be the voice of your spirit. The Bible said his conscience bothered him. We don't have time, but we could go to 1 Samuel 24, you in 2 Samuel 24, where his conscience bothered him. But over in 1 Samuel 24, his conscience bothered him again. Don't go there. We don't have time. I'll tell you. He cut the corner of Saul. Saul was chasing him with 3,000 trained warriors. David had 600 men, and Saul was just about to get him, but the Bible says God wouldn't let Saul get him. God was fighting for David. Just when Saul would go to grab him, God would move David out the way. David got a case of the big head. They caught Saul in a cave relieving himself, and David ran in there and cut off his robe, the corner of his robe, and he was saying, your life is in my hand. You may be the king, but I'm over you. And the Bible says his conscience bothered him, and he was going to kill Saul, and then when he relented, his men were going to kill Saul, and he stopped because his conscience bothered him. He stopped them from killing Saul. He said, the Bible says, touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. God put him in position. God will have to take him out, but it's not my place to take him out of position. God anointed him. God put him in that position. But the word says I shouldn't touch him. The word says I ought to pray for those who despitefully use me, persecute me, say all manner evil against me. The word says pray for you. David said, I'm not going to touch him. Y'all aren't going to touch him. His conscience bothered him. He had the corner of Saul's robe in his hand, but his conscience bothered him. And he repented. Thank God. Thank God he followed his conscience, because they would have killed Saul and he would have disqualified himself to lead. The moment he let them do that, he would have disqualified himself as king. He was to be the next king, but he would have disqualified himself. Thank God. His conscience bothered him. He was holding the corner of that robe with a guilty conscience. And he repented before the Lord. And I tell you, when your conscience gets to bothering you, oh, that's the time to repent. You say, well, you know, when so-and-so repent, then I'll repent. Ah. You harden heart, harden heart, harden heart, harden heart, dull hearing, dull hearing. You're going to be missing it. You're going to be just off. You're going to be just off. You over here looking for God, God's already over there. You get over there, God already over here. You say, Lord, how come I keep missing you? How come I keep missing you? You got a hardened heart. You got to get it clear. You got to get it clear on the inside. Your conscience. Your conscience. What's God saying to you in your conscience? See, you gotta obey. You gotta obey the voice of the Lord instantly. Obey his voice instantly. Be a God pleaser. Be a God pleaser. Oh, but then listen, be sensitive to your conscience. When God tells a husband, go in there and repent to your wife, you had no business talking to her like that. I know I ain't gonna get no amen. But when he tells a wife, go in there and you repent to your husband, you had no business talking to that man like that. I know I'm not going to get no amen. When he tells you, look, you know, the person that you cut off at the Walmart parking lot, go up there and say, I'm sorry. Be a God pleaser. Instantly obey the voice of the Lord. Instantly obey the voice of the Lord. Listen, be sensitive to your conscience. Finally, last scripture, we're out of time. 2 Timothy, or is it 1 Timothy? It's 1 Timothy, I'm sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. 1 Timothy 1, 19. This is our last scripture for tonight. Be a God pleaser. Instantly obey the voice of the Lord when he tells you to do something. And keep a clear conscience. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. Look at the relationship between faith and conscience here. 1 Timothy 1, verse 19. The relationship between faith and conscience. Keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've handed over to Satan so that they will be taught not to blaspheme. What did Paul say there? He said, keep faith and a good conscience. Why? Because if you don't keep faith and a good conscience, you'll suffer shipwreck. You won't have a true north on your compass. Your faith will be askew. And you'll be almost getting it. You'll be hearing part of what God is saying, and then you'll know in the end, I missed it somewhere. How did I miss that? You be a God pleaser.
instantly obey the voice of the Lord. Keep a clear conscience. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time tonight in your word. Thank you so much for the good Holy Ghost to confirm it. Thank you so much for speaking to hearts in this place. With every head bowed in here, every eye is closed, except for the ushers who are helping me look. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed, except for the ushers who are helping me look. If you're here and you need to get right with God, and you say, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, but I'm not right with God because I'm living my life the way I choose. I haven't been a God pleaser. I've been pleasing myself. I need to make it right with God tonight. Let me see your hand. I want to pray for you. You're here. Yes. Just raise your hand where I can see so I can pray for you, so I'll know to pray for you. Amen. See your hand. See your hand. See your hand. You say, I need to get right with God. Listen, don't override your conscience. Don't override your conscience. He wants to help you. Let me see your hand in here. Amen. 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 God's trying to help somebody tonight. He's trying to help you. Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you're here and you never received Jesus as your Savior, you've never been born again. You've never asked Christ. You don't. In fact, you don't know what would happen to you if you were to die tonight. You don't know what would happen to you. Let me see your hand. Is anybody in here like that? Anybody in here like that? You've never prayed to receive Jesus, but you want to get right tonight. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Listen, I gave two invitations tonight. And if on either of those two invitations you raised your hand, or you should have raised your hand, I'm going to count to three. When I get to three, I want you just to stand right up on your feet. Just boldly. Just obey your conscience. Just boldly stand up on your feet. Just be a God pleaser. Stand right up on you. Just instantly obey the voice of the Lord. One, don't worry about what people are thinking about you. Two, decide you're going to instantly obey God tonight. Three, follow your conscience right now. Stand on your feet. Just stand on your feet. That's right. Just stand up on your feet. Just stand up on your feet. That's right. That's right. Come on down here. I'm going to do what I said. I'm going to pray for you. Come right on down here. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. Come right on down. I'm going to pray for you. Going to pray for you. Just like I said, come right on down here. God bless you. Come right on down here. Going to pray for you. Oh, God's going to help. Come on this side of your heart. God's going to help you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Praise God. That's right. Come on. Come on. Come on. Just instantly obey. Just instantly obey. God's talking to you. Just instantly obey. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Praise God. Come on. Come on. There's room at the altar. Come on. Come on. God's speaking to you. Come on. Listen to him. Obey him. Obey God. Oh, don't be a man pleaser. Be a God pleaser tonight. Be a God pleaser. Instantly obey. Instantly obey. And oh, listen, keep a clear conscience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. Come on. Come on. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Lift your hands to the Lord down. Lift your hands to the Lord. You're signifying, Father, I'm coming to you. I'm giving my life to you, back to you. I'm coming to back to you. And I want you just to pray this prayer out loud after me. I'm going to say it and you just repeat it after me. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I just confess my sins. And I just ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me now. And Father, I thank you. I'm going to live for you from this night forward with all of my heart, all my mind, and all my strength. And because you're not a liar, I know you have forgiven me. And I know you've taken me back in. And so I just worship you and give you the glory. Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship God now. Let's all worship God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Stand up on your feet. Let's give God the glory. Come on. Let's bless the Lord in this place. Lift your voice and let's thank him. God is a good God. God's been so good to you. Hallelujah. Come on, let's bless him and thank him in this place. Thank you, Father. Thank you for helping each and every one of these. Thank you, Father, for touching them by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, for meeting every single need of their lives tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.